single-eyed on one issue, but be open to what God has to say and put yourself deliberately in a position where you can be convicted of something that is not your strong point. We're all quite aware of where we're strong, and I think we need to face up to where we're not strong. And if I have to do that by listening to tapes, other speakers, and one speaker I recommend is Stuart Briscoe. We have a few tapes at the bookstores by Stuart Briscoe. I've never listened to him yet that I haven't come away encouraged, convicted, and helped. We're inclined to miss certain aspects of the Christian life. Maybe through our childhood rearing or some other thing, we miss some things. Let's not be stubborn about having something brought to our attention where we're not excelling, for example. But let's go on. The time goes on. This next one is one of the most important ones I have. A hindrance to your constancy is your failure to trust. A verse that has convicted me time and time again is Hebrews 3:12, where the writer says, "Take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." We see people walk the Christian walk, and then all of a sudden we see a great slump. Real bad sin, run away with the wife of the choir director or something. And we say, how could that happen? Well, you see, we don't realize that our failure to trust, you can keep up a performance in the Christian community a lot longer than you can keep up your trusting. So when they fall, it hasn't always been because the temptation was too big for them. It was somewhere along in here they stopped trusting the Lord and looking to Him and getting their strength from Him, and the hour of temptation came and exposed what they had been all along. It wasn't a great man sinning. He stopped being a great man because he stopped trusting. And I've told this to some of you already, so bear with me, but speaking about trusting your husband, that could be an awful job that I wouldn't want to take on. But the Lord's taught me to trust Him for my husband. You see, he's God, and He neither slumbers nor sleeps. The best babysitter will wear out after a few hours. But God says, I don't slumber or sleep, and I keep Israel. And I say, Lord, You keep Jim. You speak to him when he needs to be spoken to. And thank you, Lord, and I can go to sleep. And God keeps on keeping Jim. That's much more secure than my checking on him all the time and figuring out, well, the thoughts never crossed my mind that I had to, simply because I'm trusting the Lord for him. One gentleman, after he heard this statement on my part, said, Jim, did you hear that? Bessie doesn't trust you. And Jim replied, good soul that he was, he said, I don't know why she should. I don't trust myself. Your trust has to be in the Lord. Now, take heed, ladies, lest there be in any of you, what kind of a heart of unbelief? It's an evil heart. Aren't we a little too casual about our failure to trust? We excuse that. If you said, I lied, and then you just laughed, we'd say, what sort of a Christian is this that admits to lying and then laughs? And yet I've heard these same Christians say, I didn't trust the Lord, and then they laugh. Big deal. It's an evil, evil thing. You read the Gospels, and Jesus says very often, oh, you unbelieving generation, Mark 3:1, Luke 9:41, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long must I be with you? This grieves the heart of our God, because He brought us into a living, vital relationship to Him through our faith, through what he did and our faith in what he did. And then we go off on our merry way, not trusting him. And the question I like to ask us all is this: wherein do you differ from your unconverted neighbor? Do you handle trials? Do you handle difficulties? Do you handle your children? Everything the same way? You're no different. The thing that differentiates a child of God should be that we're trusting God. We're trusting him moment by moment, day by day. We don't have to worry. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things will be added. If it's a time of pulling your belt in a little bit, that's fine, Lord. You know what you're doing. God hasn't promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathway all your life through. No, he hasn't promised that. He's promised to be with you in anything that you're in, and he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And yet we are casual about our lack of faith. Take heed, ladies, lest there be in any of us today this evil heart of unbelief. You say, why? The writer says it's departure from the living God. It's just the turn in the road that takes you away from God. And I'm not saying trusting the Lord for big things necessarily. We can't all be George Mueller style. But we can stop whining and complaining every day when things don't just go the way we want. We can say, Lord, you have a purpose in this. Help me to know what you're teaching me. I learned that from a dear Scottish man. He said, when you get in a trial, don't pray, Lord, get me out. Before you pray, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Because he wants to teach you something. And if you spend your time trying to magic your way, sort of thinking, well, you know, if I just have enough faith, I can get out. No, sometimes it's a willingness to stay in the trial that the Lord has spoken to me. Wait. Number five, a failure to obey Christ's command to love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Is there anyone here today that you know you can't stand, or who has done something that hurt you? Mark 11:25 says this. This is the word of our Lord. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him or her, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. A lack of forgiveness will cut off the life of Christ in us, that we will not enjoy it, we will lose, and then it'll show up in our faith and the rest of our life. Resentment, bitterness, all these things feed into an unforgiving spirit. Is there anybody? And I say it quite frankly to you, if I have done anything to any of you at any time, said anything that bothered you, if you come to me and explain it, and I'll ask your forgiveness right away, because I believe this. I believe that a failure to love each other, and the basis of love is a willingness to forgive. And if we don't forgive, we are not forgiven. It seems a harsh note to end on, but may the Lord help you to swallow some of the teaching and evaluate it as you leave. Shall we pray? Speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait for thee. Hushed our hearts to listen in expectancy. Give us the grace, Father, to deal with that which you point out to us. Make us humble in our relationship to other people. Make us truly loving one to another. For Jesus' sake, amen.